often replicated, never duplicated. It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday, 12 to 3, the new time. He is Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. What's up, JoJo?
Let's go today, man. Been up since 5 o'clock. We're down to middle. Saw my favorite radio show in America, Robbie and Rexro, down at MTSU for Media Day. Hung out down there, had a good old time. So a lot of fun coming back from tell the band to quiet it down. That band on Tuesdays, they go out on Mondays and drink, and they come in on Tuesdays, and they just have it going. Thanks, guys. union guys, man, right? You just get them going. We love them, though. That's a good thing about that. So anyway, it's off to a good morning. Look, when you're surrounded by football when you wake up, it's good.
Yeah.
It's good to go.
Yeah, so how'd they look?
They put on pads tomorrow. Everybody looks good in shells.
Right.
But as I told Chip Walters today, the first day of pads turns out a lot of basketball players. Because, right, Dr. Crane?
You're right.
Yeah, we've all had it all the schools. You know, when it's like, oh, getting hit hurts, and I don't want to do this, which is fine. It's not for everybody.
On the record, was not a basketball player, just putting that out there.
I have no doubt there. Like, you seem like... You seem like the type that like went after the hit.
Yeah.
Like went after the ball. You were like, I don't care.
I was the smallest guy out there, but I love just cracking pads. Oh, yeah. There's something about just the first day of pads. You just crack some skulls. I loved it.
That's like the Oklahoma drill. This turned out more basketball players than any football players in history. Speaking of that, guys like you, this is why I don't play basketball at the YMCA anymore. White man over 60 under 5'8" will take your head off playing basketball. Don't do it.
Not
60. I'm telling you, don't do it.
It's fair. I mean, you got to watch out for the short people. They go for your kneecaps.
They don't mess around, man. So I sit there and launch 30 footers at the Donaldson Y. They never go in, but I'm not driving that lane. Get my head knocked off, man. No way.
No. No way. No way, man.
Not doing it.
No way.
Hey, let me ask you, how's your drive in now? Later in the morning than what it was. Oh,
it was wonderful. Like, honestly, so today, I mean, I got a lot of stuff done at home that, you know, some, like, creative stuff and, you know, trying to roll all that stuff out.
Yeah.
And then worked on Chasing Checkers because I'm actually going to be out of town starting tomorrow. So I know we just started the new time slot, but I already had this plan. So, you know, I had to clear it with my boss. So
never apologize for your... success.
Yeah. So, no, I will never apologize. I will apologize to absolutely nobody.
As you should. But it's easier.
It was great. Okay. I came right in, made a couple of stops along the way. So it was certainly nice. I mean, I definitely like this schedule. So I think it'll be good. DVD with a great debut yesterday. Our man Jake Lyman.
Good dude.
Just doing great out at MTSU, had TD today, and then Robbie and Rexro just holding it down, doing their thing in the mornings.
Fun day, man. It's always good. I mean, I got to see Joe Rexro.
Did you
headphones on? I'm like, that is, and I was telling him about Joe Rexro. So
he is an amazing person.
No doubt. And that's it's funny because I drove in from Murfreesboro, had to go downtown. I'm like, I want to hit that 24 traffic. But there was no traffic hardly. I'm like, what's going on? Did everybody get raptured or something? Because there was no traffic hardly. I'm like, all right. Wish I was raptured with them, but we're good. So the new time slot, love it, love it, love it.
We already have a texter that's just trolling us. So, you know,
call him out.
3 hours of hearing Joe bitch. No thanks. 102.5, the game blows.
What's the last four of his?
Thank you, 0758. Appreciate
0758.
That.
0758. I'll check my contact.
Thanks for listening.
That's right. Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Actually, if you want to come to the pre-show meeting, it'd be 3.5 hours of Joe bitching, if you don't mind. Good Lord, man. Whatever.
615. Robert says, I'm liking the new schedule. So thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Robert.
Let me tell you something. Because yesterday, somebody texted in and was like, I like this, Chase, because I had a little edge about me.
Yeah.
I don't. If you don't like it, that's your opinion. If you do like it, thanks for listening. We appreciate it.
Look, man, it's as I tell all the time.
Heel turn.
This is a 3-hour cab ride. We're taking a 3-hour cab ride. We want you with us. We want you to laugh, have a good time. That's bottom line. That's it. We're not going to solve any world problems. We'll probably create more. But that's part of our journey. So we appreciate you guys being on our journey with us.
Yep. and it's all good.
It's all good, man.
It's all good, man. I was gonna say something else, but I'm just gonna let it go. What is our question of the day? For those of you that are new to our show, we try. Now, there's some days where it's an obvious one, like Reaction Mondays will be obvious.
Yes,
but we try to have a question of the day that we have throughout the show that you can answer via the text line or the phone line at 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Sometimes they're sports, sometimes they're non-sports. So tonight, or today, Netflix is dropping the brand new SEC football docu-series. Chase and I were honored enough to see episode one down in Atlanta during SEC Media Days, and we sat behind Greg Sankey. Good Lord.
Rest in peace to
Mike. I had a joke going somewhere, but never mind. And Chase trying to throw popcorn.
I think it's out now. I think it came out
today.
At midnight.
Yeah, yeah. It came out today. And if you love SEC football, Vandy's in it, Tennessee's in it. It's fantastic, I'm telling you. So off that, our question of the day is, what is your all-time favorite football movie or documentary or docu-series? It could be a 30 for 30, it could be a documentary, or a football movie. We always love your responses because they're so great. We always find out certain movies that we forgot about that are movies like, oh yeah, reinforces how great they are. So what's your favorite football movie or docu-series or documentary ever, coming off with the SEC football? Their documentary drops today on Netflix. Go see it. It is that good. What is your favorite?
Well, you don't have to go anywhere to see it. That's the great part about Netflix.
Maybe go to the living room. Walk around.
You can go to the bathroom, watch it on your phone.
That's true. Oh, my goodness. What's your, off the top of your mind, what's your favorite?
Oh, man, that's a really good question.
Probably
The Last Dance.
The Last Dance.
Yeah. Because I was.
Is that a football documentary?
Oh, you said football. Sorry. So this is what I get for not paying attention.
That's all right, man.
Football. I mean, do you count? Let me think about it for a second.
Okay. I thought you just meant doc. No, overall. Just football. Football.
Remember the Titans. I think that's just top notch for me. Okay. I mean, you could probably go Invincibles, whatever, but I think Remember the Titans is probably the easy out.
That's a good one. I mean, there's so many good ones. The Walter Payton Football Life on the NFL Network is so well done, and it's a tragic story at the end of how he passed away. But this is a guy from nowhere, Mississippi, who became the greatest running back in the history of the National Football League, was on some awful Chicago Bear football teams in the 70s, early 80s. And then it's added in that, you know, he did not score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. Mike Ditka gave the ball to Refrigerator Perry, and he scored. And Ditka says that his greatest regret of all time. We talked to Fisher about this, and people could not. Jeff Fisher was on that 85 Bears team, and they're like, "Oh man, Walter didn't score a touchdown. He was the heart and soul of this team, and didn't get in there." The Walter Payton documentary to me is my favorite, and there's others that are at the top, but that's really strong right there. You got one now?
I would say favorite movie is Remember the Titans. Favorite documentary, I don't remember the name of it. It's not the Football Life one. It was one that was done probably 10 years ago on Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, yes.
And it is so well done. I mean, it goes into personal life, and it has my favorite ending to any doc, where when he's sitting there and whoever's interviewing him says, you know, when your grandkids ask you about who is LT, how are you going to answer that question? Because the whole thing talks about the difference between Lawrence Taylor and LT.
Yes.
They're two different people.
Yes.
And he like gets tears in his eyes and goes, you know, I'll pick them up with all the love of my heart, and I'll look at them and I'll go, kids, LT was a bad mother bleeper. And I'm like, that is so perfect because it's so true.
Yes.
That's so that's one that, yeah. Yeah, sure.
And I think the ones that resonate with us, even the document, they could be anything, but it's got to be football related. I think that and the Payton one show the humble side of these great athletes. And of course, LT was all self-inflicted. Walter Payton was not, but it's the up and downs of everything that go. You're like, oh, man, because these guys are larger than life. The McNair one was great. I mean, and that's a tragic one, too, as well. So we want to hear from him at 615-737-1025, but Chase McCabe, the great one has spoken.
The great one.
You wrote it on the board.
Oh. Okay.
The great one has spoken.
All right, well. Do you want to host now? Yes, Mike Vrabel has spoken to Bussin with the Boys, and I find interesting some of the things that he said compared to some of the things that John Robinson said when he did his first local interview last week on the Chase and Big Joe show.
Yes.
And he was asked all the tough questions by us on the Chase and Big Joe show. I found Vrabel's answers interesting. We'll do that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, the game.
Everyone's like, Vrabel's going to get extension. The rumor is that Vrabel is now going to go from an HC to actually have a little more of a GM role as well. And then you walked into a meeting and you walked out and they're like, hey,
no, that wasn't a meeting. Those aren't meetings. You just get fired.
They just called you and fired you?
No, you walk upstairs.
How'd you handle it?
I just said, give me an hour and I'll be out of here.
I feel like you wouldn't be a fun guy to fire.
No, everybody makes decisions.
Never like a, hey, what do you think could have happened differently? Obviously, the agent round trade happened.
Again, it was no discussion. I heard the message and I just said, give me an hour. I'd like to talk to my staff and I'll box my stuff up.
That was Mike Vrabel on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast with Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. Obviously, two players that he enjoyed and they enjoyed playing for him here with the Titans. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 the game on this Tuesday, noon to 3 our new time slot. So I find it interesting. I'm sure they did that, you know, a while, you know, they just taped that. I don't think that was like yesterday. I think they did that probably a week or so ago. But it's ironic that they kind of have the, you know, the follow up with Vrabel and then we had John Robinson last week. Now all of a sudden he's popping up in a couple
everywhere,
different places.
Right? Like a whack-a-mole.
But we, you know, we ask those type questions.
Yeah.
And it raises the question with me. I guess any team is probably like that of like when they decide they're going to make a change, they're just going to go they bring you in and they're like, "Hey, we're going to make a change." And that's it. I would imagine Vrabel was a little more vocal than maybe he portrayed there. But, I mean.
And then that one guy's like, I bet it's not easy firing you. As they fan him with flowers and chocolates and wine. Good Lord. So you compare and contrast. The question was asked, you know. I mean, look, it's the A.J. Brown thing, right? Yeah. I mean, it's to go with A.J. Brown.
It all kind of comes back to that.
Did Vrabel know? Did he know? I mean, what did he know? When did he know? It's like Watergate. What did you know and when did you know it?
Yeah. This was John Robinson when we asked him about his time coming to an end with the Titans.
Big day and everything. You were let go 2 days later.
Yep.
Did you have any warning, John? Did you have any idea that was happening? Because we didn't.
No, I don't think anybody does. Like, you know, it is what it is. And again, I can't say enough of how grateful I am for Amy and the opportunity she gave me. I know that was probably a hard decision for her. And I respect her for the decision that she made. It was a bold decision, and she made it. And I'm extremely grateful and proud of everything that she did for me and my family and my time here. You know, we had a great relationship, and they made a collective decision to go a different direction, and that's the decision they made.
That was John Robinson last Thursday on our show. So basically what I'm getting is, and this is what worries me moving forward with this group, because I like, you know, the jury's still out on Brian Callahan, mm-hmm, on whether he's just strong enough to be the head coach. I like Mike Borgonzi. Chad Brinker, we'll see. I mean, I think it's still a we'll see, like how involved in the day-to-day is he? He's obviously been at every press conference. We haven't gotten Borgonzi by himself yet, but I'll be kind of curious there. But when she decides she's done, she's done. That happened to Robinson, and then it happened to Vrabel. It was the A.J. Brown thing that he comes back and torches the Titans. She decides, I'm
right.
Done.
Yeah.
Vrabel, you know, and I think they follow up with him of, did you want more GM duties, like all that stuff. And it just kind of felt like it was a, nope, I want to change. You're not getting it done. It's time to move on.
It is. I mean, and we all know. I mean, that was the question, you know, and what went on, you know, with Robinson. I mean, he adds further, I don't know what else we have, but he adds, you know, more of the conversation of like, you know, he was went home, packed his stuff, and you know, what was like the next day, like the Wednesday when you're supposed to be there working deals, and he's like, I was at home, took the kids to school. I mean, your whole world changes and all that goes on. But, you know, again, you go back to draft night when Vrabel and him are sitting there. You see it happens, and Vrabel storms out of the room like you took his toy, which you kind of did. You kind of took his toy from him with A.J. Brown, and then it moves on, and life changes. But I'm telling you right now, they're going to make some sort of documentary series about that trade because it has now become so one-sided between both teams that it's the worst trade since Herschel Walker. Is there one that's been worse? I don't recall it. An NFL trade.
Oh, that's a really good question.
That's worse.
I mean, it's the worst in Titans history. It's the worst in Nashville sports history.
Yes, it is. I mean,
like, okay, so what's interesting is you can have, like, a – when David Poyle traded Shea Weber for P.K. Subban, that took some stones to do that.
Sure.
But he felt because of the contract, the offer sheet and all that, that it was going to handcuff the Preds at some point down the line. He also looked at the way the game was being played, that Subban added an element that they didn't have. And so he made the move. And the next year, they get to the Stanley Cup Final. And the next year, they win the President's Trophy. Now, the time frame was short. They got 3 short years out of Subban, and then it kind of ran its course, and it was time to move on again. But I think we can say, like, hey, at the time, we're all sitting going, like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. That's your captain. That's the face of your franchise.
It's pretty rough.
But it worked. This didn't work because the replacement for A.J. Brown was Treylon Burks, and Treylon Burks has 1 touchdown in his career and is now off the team.
He's got many touchdowns as David Quisenberry does.
Yeah.
The same amount of touchdowns. And Taylor Lewan.
Taylor Lewan has more touchdowns than Treylon Burks.
They'll make something out of this, but I just think it's hearing Vrabel talk about that and what went on and all that. It's just, I don't know if we'll ever open up about everything with the NDAs they had to sign and everything else and just moving on. I don't know, but I mean, Robinson answered it, and now I don't think there's any more Robinson could say. I think it's all out there now.
Yeah, I mean, I think he put it out there. Yeah. 6638 says, what makes you think he had more say when he was fired? He was trying to get fired, talking about Vrabel. I know that narrative's out there. I don't know if I believe that. Does somebody truly want to, like, actively try to get fired?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Are you that miserable in your job?
I think so.
George Costanza, like.
I mean, did he want to come back and work with Rand again? He couldn't stand Rand Carthon. Couldn't stand him. So do you want to come back and do that? No.
You want a piece of irony here? Think about, because I've always said that it wasn't necessarily the trade that got John fired. It was the replacement in Treylon Burks not working out because he couldn't stay healthy and all of that stuff. The irony is Amy Adams Strunk tried to do the same thing. She brought in the replacement for John Robinson, who turned out to be just a disaster of a general manager.
Yeah, right.
And Rand Carthon.
Terrible. Just terrible.
Nice guy, terrible general manager.
Yeah.
Like it just, he was. You know, that's just, there's no better way. I mean, it is what it is. This was, do we have it, Dr. Green? This is Mike Vrabel when asked about AJ specifically.
When the A.J. Brown trade happened.
Yeah.
And there you see the video. You see you stand up.
No, I mean, listen, that is.
But also, as long as I'm the head coach of this team, A.J. Brown will be a wide receiver.
Well, I didn't want to. Obviously, nobody wanted to have him walk out of there. You know what I mean? The contractual terms weren't going to, you know, it didn't work out. And it's disappointing. The thing that I am most proud of is just still the relationship with A.J. and players that I've coached. Whether it be you guys or other players that, you know, continue to text or check in on or just think about when they're in the summer or what they're doing or their families or you see that they're having kids. Like, I think that's important, and I'm glad that that's still something that happened.
This is Mike Vrabel on Bussin' with the Boys.
Took a deep breath like Darth Vader in that one time. I mean, again, he kind of skirted the issue a little bit. We all know they didn't want to trade A.J. Brown. We all know that.
Yeah.
But why did they?
Right. Well, I mean, again, And when we had John on, he explained there were certain things he couldn't get into.
Right. And again, body language guy here. Mm-hmm. And John was really trying to piece together. And we're grateful that he came on his first interview with us. Grateful for that. But he was trying to piece together what he could tell us and what he couldn't tell us. And I think there's, at least according to me, you might have gotten a different vibe, that there's a lot more he wants to say but can't.
Right. Okay. So, but I can speculate, right? I mean, we're in the speculation.
Does that require lifting a hammer?
No. Okay. We're in the speculation business.
Sure.
Based on Vrabel's answer, based on John's answers, and based on just kind of, you know, even what AJ has said, I think the owner didn't want to pay him.
Right.
I mean, I just that's what I think.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately they couldn't, you know. Now, what was always curious to me was they didn't have to do it right then. They could have taken this into the offseason and, you know, into before training camp. Now, he would have held out and all that stuff, but they could have waited.
Yeah, three months.
And then they could have gotten draft picks for the next draft. They could have taken Burks in addition to keeping A.J. Brown. That's what I never understood is, like, I feel like they parachuted out much too quickly on it. And that was, I think, because she basically – and, again, all speculation. I don't know this.
Okay.
I think she said, look, I told you what I'm willing to pay him. I'm not changing on that, so you figure it out.
Yes. Where were they originally scheduled to pick?
30th? No.
28th?
No.
They were the number one seed after the 21
it was
season.
Like, it was like, yeah,
I think
maybe
it was 22nd. Connor and I are back here talking.
I want to say it was like the early 20s.
All right, so they moved up six spots, right? Because you take him at 16 is where they took him at. Look, you had 3 months to work this out. And if you were worried he was going to cause a distraction in training camp and hold out, you had 3 months to figure it out. I mean, look, we can go back and play armchair quarterbacks. If I told you to make a major trade decision about a player, you had 10 minutes to do it. Could you do it? I don't know. I don't think I could. I mean,
they were 18th?
Yeah, Titans moved up to 18 with the right. Eagles when they traded A.J. Brown.
Right, okay. Yeah, we knew. So I was
telling the original pick.
What?
Are you talking about the original pick?
That's what we're talking about. Of asking where I want to say it was like 26th. I know it was in the 20s.
I mean, they were the number one
seed. I think
they
moved up 8 spots. Okay. That feels right.
All
right. I don't know. We can look it up.
So that's this. I mean, look, you talk about this all along, but the fact they're speaking about it now, it's a topic. And again, it's one of the most one-sided trades of all time.
615-737-1025. You have now heard from the former GM and the former head coach that basically got that got this team back to being competitive, an AFC championship game and a number one overall seed. And they have both addressed the biggest, I guess, misstep in their tenure, whether that's John Robinson's fault or Amy's fault or whatever. Now, how does that make you feel moving forward? Has it cleared things up for you? Are you still pissed off? 615-737-1025. It's Chase and Big Joe on this Tuesday. Tim Hasselbeck will join us at the top of the next hour. Gentry Estes at 2 here on 102.5 The Game.
How did that start and then the negotiation? And then once that happened, did you have to run it up the flagpole and say, look, we our receiver wants an extension. What do we do here?
I brought gauze and Band-Aids, so if you cut me off, I'll mend up. No, yeah, that's a topic everybody probably is tuning in to hear about. And I would love to give in the details. I can't go into the details on it, but there was just a lot of discussion that went into that decision. Ultimately, it was my responsibility to make the decision, you know, and again, if I had one of those mulligans, I would probably do that. And that's nothing against Traylon or anybody else. But I think AJ's went on to have a great run. I'm proud of him. I'm proud of where he's at and what he's been able to accomplish. But sure, I mean, in hindsight, if you had a do-over, I mean, I'd be an idiot to sit here and say, no, I'd do it again. Like, no.
WPRT-FM Pegram, WBUZ-HD2 Laverne. We are 105 and 106.3 The Game.
A Cromwell Media Station.
Chase and Big Joe, we are back. Sorry about that. Joe was trying to dance and tripped over a wire.
No, that was a moment of silence for the A.J. Brown trade 3 years ago.
Is that what it was?
It was a minute for every cuss word times a million that was said when that trade went down. So that's our moment of silence for the A.J. Brown trade. Backing up. So there we go. Feel better now.
Yeah. No, we were not sabotaged or anything. Don't worry. But we're back, so we apologize for that. I don't know what happened. Thank you for texting. Yes, we know.
When we left you, we were discussing John. We played the John Robinson clip about what happened, the AJ Brown trade, and somebody sent me a text and says, "Hey, John Robinson stuttered more than Mel Tillis." And if you know the joke, it's funny. So thank you for that, Dale, for the text on. For that one as well. So, all right, moving on.
615-737-1025 is our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Now that I have crawled under things and Dr. Crane's crawled under things and we've gotten it all back going, we welcome your calls of kind of how you still feel about this. Now moving forward, both have talked. Mike Vrabel talked with Bustin' with the Boys. John Robinson talked with us first. First local interview. I know he did a couple of podcasts, I think, and
yeah,
but that was the first local discussion that he had last week. Does it change anything for you, or is that just kind of how, or now you're just kind of like, whatever, let's move on? 615-737-1025. I think we got to get some commercials in, so we will step away, come back and reset. Chase and Big Joe, 1025 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. Tim Hasselbeck will join us coming up momentarily. Looking forward to our weekly conversations with him. He now moves to this show because of the time change with DVD. And we're kind of the OG because he started with you.
He did. Willie and myself back in November of 2011.
So the Titans' unofficial depth chart is out. And I mean, I know it's something they do, and Vrabel used to just hate it when they would have to put that out there. Do you care? Does it really mean anything at this point?
The wide receivers, it means, yeah, I like looking at that because it shows who's running with the ones and twos. And it's Lockett, Van Jefferson, and Calvin Ridley with the ones, and the twos were all the rookies. Bryce Oliver, then it was Shamir DK, and then I can't pronounce the guy's name from Stanford. Oxymoron.
Alec Iomaner.
Look at you, man.
Please practice that 20 times after the show.
I'm excited to see those guys because I think there's some real talent in those receivers. So, yeah, I'm interested in that. Gunnar Helm running number two at tight end. I think he becomes the number one tight end probably fourth, fifth game throughout the season. He's good, man. That's a good draft choice they got there. So I did for that, but other than that, no.
Yeah, and I mean, like quarterback, you kind of know that. I think that's pretty much figured out at this point, unless they sign somebody that we're not expecting. Teddy Bridgewater just signed with the Bucs.
Yeah, because Baker Mayfield's got a hurt hand, and the backup has got some sort of injury as well.
It's more their backups than anything.
So that's good. You know, hey, look, man, our guest coming on, Tim Hasselbeck, told us early on, you keep playing till everybody tells you to go away and keep playing on, and Teddy Bridgewater's back again. This shows you how important a backup quarterback is to a football team. Big time. I like the way that your microphone's fighting you today.
Everything's fighting me today.
It's usually my microphone.
Trying to, you know,
we're good, man.
Things figured out.
It's all good, bro.
Tim Hasselbeck joins us coming up next. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.